Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWit Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Drew, and with me, as always, are my co-host, Devin.
I learned something today, not today, this week, that made me chuckle. It was that the equivalent to a dollar in Vietnam is called the Vietnamese dong.
Yeah.
It is. Ooh, a dong. That's spicy.
And Ryan.
So I learned today that you can almost turn your foot purple with a compression machine. Yeah, my foot is still freezing.
And I learned today nothing.
So pretty much a normal day.
And that's all we got for this week. So
yeah. Thanks, everybody. No, so interesting couple of games. Well, we're a little later than we thought we would be. Life happened. It happens. But yeah, we're gonna start with home against Washington. Took the fat 5-2L. Goals by Philadelphia scored by Van Riemsdyk and Lawton. Washington goal scores Conley twice, Eller, good looking guy Tom Wilson, and Evgeny Kuznetsov. Hart 27 saves on 31 shots. I have no recollection of this game.
It happened.
It did happen. It definitely happened.
I remember the Flyers were buzzing in the offensive zone and it's absolutely terrible in their own zone.
This is the game that kind of like, I mean, the playoffs were looking kind of bleak, but like about this time, like of, you know, like last week, we were thinking that, hey, you know, if they win against the Capitals and the Maple Leafs, they actually have a chance. And they blew it.
They indeed did blow it.
And they also, they started, this was Hart's first game back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, we all agreed last time, I don't think Hart should have been starting against the Capitals.
He should have started against Ottawa.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess I can understand the justification, because I guess if you're Scott Gordon, you're looking at it like Ottawa's, no matter what, if you put Brian Elliott out there, who's been playing really good, you should get that win easily. And yeah, it's a safe win, and then if you play Hart against the Capitals, no matter what, like, you think, okay, maybe since we always lose against the Capitals, you end up losing that game no matter what, but if Hart comes in and steals it, you know what I mean? Like, if Hart comes back and plays poorly against Ottawa, and then we lose against Ottawa, and then Brian Elliott loses against the Capitals, then you just took two really bad losses.
That, and the last time Elliott started against the Capitals, he laid an absolute egg in the first period. He gave up like four.
Well, that's because the Capitals move the puck around the zone and Elliott can't move.
True.
And I guess at this rate, you don't start Talbot, because
Talbot was the backup
hasn't
in this game, because it says here that Elliott was scratched.
Well, yeah, he was given the night off, but I mean, I guess you couldn't really start Talbot because he hasn't had any game time.
I thought Elliott was backing up Hart, though, in that
since
game.
Devil's game.
Where I'm confused, though, is why I have Talbot back up and not have Elliott back up.
Because Gordon gave a reasoning on that. He said that Elliott was, you know, carrying so much of the load for the past, you know, months on end when Hart was out, so he wanted to just give him a full night off. And, you know,
interesting, because he could have just started, they could have started Talbot for a game or two and Elliott wouldn't have had to carry so much of a load. But
weird.
All right, I see. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that this game really kind of killed the playoff hopes. Like, the Flyers, well, it's also this game and the next game, the combination. Yeah. But they really needed to get at least, I think I said it last podcast, five out of 8 points. So you start off 0-1, no points, kind of lay an egg. Pretty much it.
Yeah, and let's move on to the next game, because I think, like I said, I don't remember the Capitals game at all. So this next game came at an interesting time for us, because we had a hockey game in the middle of it. And when our game started, the Flyers were up, what, 5-2? 5-2. So the Flyers are going to lose this game in Toronto. Devin, you're really robot-y here, so I'm going to have to cut you off. We're not catching anything you're saying.
Are you maybe driving through a tunnel?
So Flyers would go on to lose this game 7-6 in Toronto. Cole scores for Philadelphia. Voracek, JVR with the hat trick. Ratko Gudas and Shane Gostisbehere. Toronto goal scorers: Patty Marleau, Zach Hyman, Jake Muzzin twice, Marinson and Austin Matthews twice. Brian Elliott had 44 saves on 51 shots. So yeah, when our game started, we were up 5-2. By the time that was over, it was very much different. And a disappointing game in our game came to a disappointing news for the Flyers as well. So unfortunately, none of us watched this game. I think that's kind of a good
Actually,
thing.
I watched the first half,
Ah,
and
yes.
I do take I will fully or take full responsibility for this game because Brian Elliott made some good saves in the first half, and I
Great
was like,
saves.
you know what? I think he's earned some credit from me for this, you know, for the second half of the season. He's good. I tweet that out, and then immediately after that, he lets in like three giant clunkers.
I didn't even watch the highlights of this game. I'm not
I
doing a good
mean,
job. I didn't
am I
watch it.
still
I
a
was so
robot?
sad. No, you're
No,
back.
you...
Okay. Yeah, I'm really glad I didn't watch this game because it probably would have drove me insane.
Yeah.
But JVR got a hat trick, though.
JVR did get a
Yeah,
hat
and we...
trick.
It's even crazier, too, because Toronto has been kind of bad lately. So the fact that we were up 5-2 and couldn't close out a game on a team that's, like, entering a, you know, a complete tailspin, that's... Right there, I mean that pretty much is why we're not, you know, easily not going to the playoffs now.
Yeah, it was definitely. I mean, you put up six goals and you lose. Like,
That's also a defensive error, like an upset too. Like giving up 51 shots, like that's there were some of the, you know, like I said that Brian Elliott should have had, but at the same time giving up 51 shots, that's not good. Like that's horrific.
and I'm looking at the time on ice for the defense, and it just doesn't. Like Provorov, obviously, just under 24 minutes. Sanheim was the second highest with 20 and a half minutes. And then you go down to 17 minutes for Gudas, 15 minutes for Ghost, three of which were on the power play, 15 minutes for Hag, 10 minutes for McDonald, which is good. Keep that low.
Yeah, I mean,
Phil Myers at 13 minutes. Like, it
does
just
it have
doesn't seem.
7D?
No, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, they did have 7D. Okay.
Yeah,
That's
so
probably why.
it probably would have been better if McDonald had 0 minutes.
And was on the bench. Or in
Yeah,
the
and then you
press
gave
box.
those minutes to Gudas and Ghost. But,
So I don't
I mean,
really like
again, I
switching.
didn't watch the game, so I can't
Yeah.
really
But
comment
on
on
top
it.
of that, they. You have one less forward and you play Veroni 4.5 minutes and Corbin Knight six, just under 7 minutes.
So you're essentially, you have three lines.
And you're overworking your three lines to do it. This is really like trying to be playoff hockey.
Yeah, but
Like.
they scored six goals. So I mean, obviously playing your for, you know, overworking your forwards, your better forwards worked, but when your defense is that mixed match, it's hard, I guess, for them to find any rhythm because you know, 1 minute Provorov could be playing with Ghost and then the next he's playing with Sanheim and
Hey,
then you
Drew, what was McDonald's and Hag's minutes again?
McDonald had 1027, Hag had 1509.
So for 25 minutes, you had one of the worst defensemen in the league out there.
Yeah.
Because both of those guys have terrible stats, like possession-wise. And then you're playing them against a really good possession team. So like I'm sure that had a big thing to do with letting up seven
Actually,
goals.
Dev, you seem
I can
really
tell
well
you.
versed in this Hag thing. Is there any particular reason why?
No, no
No?
reason.
Nobody on Twitter being a dumbass?
No, I wasn't poking a beehive, and
No,
by
I
hive, I
was.
mean one guy who, for some reason, is really all in on Robert Hag.
Yeah, that's.
No, I mean, I've said it before. Hag, right now, he's horrendous. His numbers suggest he should be in the AHL, and yeah, he could get better, but him getting better is going to equivalent to Andrew McDonald. I mean,
The thing about Hag is, like, I don't really care. He's playing, you know, on the bottom defensive pair right now. The last second half, ever since Gordon came in, he's been playing, you know, the minutes he should. And the Flyers don't really have anybody to replace him. It's like either Hag or McDonald. It's not like, and even though technically McDonald's played better, it's not really, it's like
yeah.
six of one, half dozen of another. So, like, I don't have any feelings about Hag.
So
It's just,
I have a
when he makes
question.
a bad play, and so a guy on Twitter was really mad at me because I made fun of Hag, but like the the statement that, like, we shouldn't be criticizing a young player for not playing well is dumb, because Hag, first of all, is 24. He's 2 years older than almost everyone else on this defense. So, like, I think if he's not playing well, we can criticize him. But, like, he's not an important player on this team.
To touch on that point, it's not like he's playing in his 10th NHL game. He's been playing the entire season.
And he has,
playing,
like,
bad consistently the entire season. Like, yeah, okay, 10 games, he's young. 24 is still young. I can give that guy that, but not for an entire season. If you're
he's not
the
green.
Season.
He's not a rookie.
So,
and he has like at least 2 or 3 seasons in the AHL as well, full season. So, like, he's a veteran at pro hockey.
Why
it's not in the NHL?
Well, here's another question. Before I'm going to cut you off here for a second. Why have him on the short on the penalty kill and not Ghost?
Well, because I mean, I don't know, to be honest with you, but I guess the idea is that Hag is better at defense, which is just a flawed. Because he hits and Ghost
it's
is
he's
a
big.
Goal scorer, yes, but the idea is that Ghost isn't big and he gets points and he's an offensive defenseman. That means he's bad at playing defense, but that's not true. Like, last year, Ghost was better at defense than Provorov was. When you look at the numbers, he suppressed more shots. He had better possession stats. Like, when he was out there, the Flyers had the puck more than when Provorov was out there. And Provorov had a great year, too. So, like, it's just... But no one would say that. Like, if you just asked anybody who's the best defenseman on the Flyers, they're going to say Provorov. But, and I mean, this year it's different. Like, Ghost and Provorov both had down years. But it's just something that people have, like, a stigma against defensemen that play like Shane Gostisbehere.
Small and offensive-minded. Yep. Right. Let's get back into the Hag talk. Ryan, because I cut you off a couple times. What were your opinions on it?
I mean, I was just going to throw out his numbers that for the past, well, he's had one full season. His first full season was last year, and this year he's got the same exact Corsi 4 percentage at 44.6%, and that's at even strength, so that's, you know, subtracting out the penalty kill. That's horrific. You typically, if you're a good player, you're above 50. If you're a third pair defenseman, you might fall in the 48 to 49% range. But at 44%, that's terrible. And you have to account for what kind of minutes he's getting. Like, he's getting, what, 13, 14 minutes a night against...
Now he is.
I'm assuming Gordon's not playing him against top, you know, the top lines of other, you know, of other teams. So, he's playing against, you know, not the best talent, and he's getting destroyed. He's getting pinned in his own end way more than half the time.
And when you use the quote-unquote eye test on him, you see why his possession metrics are so bad. It's when he gets the puck, he doesn't think about what he's going to do with it. He automatically throws it up the boards and tries to chip it up and out of the zone. Problem is, half the time it gets intercepted at the half boards by the other team, and the other half of the time it makes it to the neutral zone, but now it's a puck battle. And you lose half of those. So,
well, see,
75% of the time, it ends up back on the other team's stick.
See, he was the number one student at the Andrew McDonald School of Defense.
Yeah. Oh, and in my argument with random, crazy, insane dude on Twitter, I learned that basically, because his argument was that Hag has 18 points this year. Like, that's great. Hag has 18 points, but I think we've learned that in short sample sizes, bad players can get points. And good players cannot get points. Like, it doesn't predict future production at all.
And I'd have to dive into this, but he's got his 18 points are 4 goals and 14 assists. And I have to think of those 14 assists, how many of them are primary assists? I mean, not to take away from secondary assists, but at the same time, they can sometimes be misleading. Like, you can be a defenseman, pass the puck up to the forward, and then the next forward could come in, deke somebody out, and then make the pass, you know, on a 2-on-1 or something.
Exactly. But the thing I realized was, because, you know, I keep tying him to Hag because he just seems like a young, or I keep tying him to McDonald because he just seems like a young McDonald, basically, who hits. And when you look at McDonald's first 2 seasons, he actually had more points. Like, McDonald played better than Hag. in terms of like point production. So it's kind of alarming. But as long as the Flyers don't, you know, mistake him for a number four defenseman and give him $3 million or $4 million, you know, it's fine. If he ends up getting like a $2 million deal at the when they re-sign him for like 3 years and he's just a guy who plays in the bottom pair, like, it's not going to kill the Flyers. It's not going to make or break them. I would prefer to have somebody else because, you know, he hasn't been great. But he is also still technically, you know, only has played two seasons in the NHL. So you could still hold out hope that he gets better and that a lot of his bad habits are Dave Hakstol related and that a new coach can come in here and fix him. But
it's possible. But again, the rest of the defense was playing under the same schemes as Hakstol and they don't nearly look as bad. And I know that a lot of those other players have more talent, but it's just Hag is so... His numbers are so low that if he were to get better, again, he's only improving to being an Andrew McDonald. And well, granted, if he only ever gets paid like that, like he does now, that, I mean, that's, you know, whatever. It's,
I don't want to pay him like Andrew McDonald.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if you could trick the Islanders into doing it, get a little revenge, sure, why not? But
that would be great. But just, I don't want to keep going down this rabbit hole, but I do want to add, just the other defensemen weren't ever, besides Provorov, who was like a slam dunk, he was your best defenseman, or could be your best defenseman. So he's getting all the minutes. He's the minutes eater. All the other defensemen on the team kind of always were in a doghouse with Hakstol and his regime. Like, Ghost, how often did Ghost get benched? And, you know, Sanheim was barely played.
I think that's why Hag got a lot of minutes under Hakstol, is because...
Yeah.
I guess he played the way that Hakstol wanted, which everybody had, you know, agreed was no good.
Yeah, and Ghost was vocally, obviously, like, he wasn't, like, subscribing to it. Like, that's why the assistant coach got fired. And all the other assistants didn't. Like, the power play coach and the penalty kill coach are still here from the Hakstol regime, but the assistant coach got fired, and it's basically because the defenseman didn't like him.
Yeah, I would still like to see our special team coaches get the hell out of town.
Oh yeah, me too. But, I think they are. I think this offseason they're gone.
I think we need to move on a little bit though. We went down the rabbit hole, which is fine. I like that rabbit hole. That was a good rabbit hole. But we still got two more games to talk about here. Next one, we go to Pittsburgh, and boy was this a dandy, kind of. It was like an overall pretty boring game until the end. Flyers would go on to win 2-1 in overtime. Pittsburgh goal scorer was Teddy Bluger. Anybody know who that is?
He's a guy.
He is a guy.
He's one of those guys. He's one of those AHL guys that Pittsburgh has because, like, they don't have any cap space, and these guys always end up on their team, and then their stats blow up because they play with Malkin or Crosby.
And then Philadelphia's goal scorers was JVR with 19 seconds left to go in the game to tie it, send it to overtime, and Sean Couturier, the game winner, with 3.4 seconds left in overtime. Carter Hart had 41 saves on 42 shots.
Carter Hart had a great game.
Had a phenomenal game.
Yeah, he made some saves, man. And this is one of those games where... Yeah, this is one of those games where, like, you can look back and be like, this is what happens when you have a goalie who's a game stealer.
Yep. Yeah, and the majority of the load, because we were talking about defensive minutes, the majority of the load went to Provorov, 28:42 in time on ice. Sanheim, 26:19 was second. Nobody else had over 20 minutes of ice time on the defensive side of it. Ghost was the closest with 19:22.
How many shots did the Flyers have?
Flyers had 38 shots to the Penguins' 42.
Okay, Flyers actually managed a lot of shots. I feel like they had to be at the end when they like pulled the goalie and stuff, because it felt like they were getting outshot a lot.
Holy
but that
cow.
Doesn't seem too bad.
Sean Couturier had 28:37 in time on ice. That
Sean Couturier
is a beast.
Special. He's a gem, and he signed for several more years with like a 4-point-something cap hit. Like,
that's a steal.
Yeah, no, that's you basically have Patrice Bergeron light on a second line center contract. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he's.
Like, I'm not gonna say Sean Couturier is as good as Patrice Bergeron yet, but like he.
I think
amazing.
He is. I think Sean Couturier is as good as Patrice Bergeron.
The last 2 years, definitely. Like, and Flyers fans don't appreciate it, and the NHL doesn't appreciate it, but he is.
It is an absolute
really
crying shame.
Freaking good.
Because he is the fourth Flyer in Flyers history to have 30 goals and 70 points in back-to-back years.
It's wild. Yeah,
think about that. Four Flyers.
And that's not even his best, like, skill. Like, the offense is not what it, like, he's all about the 2D. Prevents the other team's best players from being able to produce offense. He's, and then on top of that, he's scoring 70 points in the last 2 years.
He's
like,
the
that's
guy you put
amazing.
Up against Crosby. He's the guy you put up against Malkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, directly, he went against Crosby in overtime and deked him, and that's why he was able to get that scoring chance.
Oh, yes. I saw – I wish I could remember who tweeted it. But there was like this – this is the best – player in the league scoring a goal on Sidney Crosby. <It's>
like... I mean, hey, he's got the Penguins number. He does phenomenal against the Penguins.
The Penguins fans hate him too, because for like so many years the Flyers were basically like the bloggers, not just Flyers bloggers, but like, you know, the advanced stat community was like all on board with Sean Couturier as like an elite defensive talent. And the spotlight of that was his rookie season when he just completely owned Malkin in the playoffs in 2012.
Yeah.
And Penguins, like, you'd always see, like, Penguins fans like, oh, Sean Couturier sucks. He's not even that good. It's like, all right, okay.
See, Sean Couturier I love because he's, like, he's the guy that, or the advanced stats communities, he's their golden boy. Because like, everybody was saying for years that Sean Couturier is really, really good, and this is why. And then everybody's like, nah, he's like a third-line shutdown center. That's all he'll ever be. And then now it's starting to click for him. He's playing with actually skilled, you know, other skilled players. And this, you know, and you're finally seeing what, you know, we've been saying for years, that he's actually a good player.
Like, thinking this today, like, there's still, like, this, and it'll never go away. It's going to exist forever, but, like, this, you know, eye test versus advanced stats debate. But what's funny to me is that the people who, whenever there's a player that's good that doesn't have, you know, the traditional stats, like, backing it up yet, and, like, the advanced stat community will be like, yeah, this guy's really good, and then everyone's like, ah, no, like, show me the goals. It's like it always comes around, like, in a few years where it's like, oh, we were right. And, like, Couturier is a perfect example of that.
Right, like, through all of that, like, you know, you guys know, I'm not an advanced stats guy. But even, like, you don't need to see goals to see a guy playing well. When he shuts down Evgeny Malkin in his rookie year, how can you not see that he is a good player?
What also killed me, too, was, like, he was 18 years old when he did that. Like, that was great. But what also killed me was that really Couturier has been scoring at this pace for 4 years. He just got injured and there was a lockout. Like, he, whenever you prorated his stats over 82 games, like, this is what he was doing. So, like, oh, he has to stay healthy. Like, all right, it's going to happen. Just relax. So, fantastic game by Sean Couturier playing 30 minutes. Awesome. Great game by Hart. And amazing. this is what the future is.
Yeah. It's amazing that we're gonna move forward with Sean Couturier. Still, Giroux putting up amazing things. I want to touch on Couturier real quick. He started off first 14, 20 games just awful. He's
yes.
1 point off a point a game pace now.
Yeah. Imagine if he didn't re-hurt his knee in the summer.
Right. Imagine if Radko didn't like kill him in the playoffs.
That's so true.
It's like another kind of the same thing with JVR. Like, if he didn't get hurt and was out for 6 weeks and then came back and had that slow, like, adjustment phase after he comes back. Because now
JVR might have been a 40-goal scorer this season.
Yeah.
If he didn't get hurt.
His pace as of late is ridiculous, which we'll finish with him after we get to Tuesday's game. We were home against Montreal, and it was a stinker. 3-1 loss. The lone goal, his 30th goal. For Philadelphia, with Sean Couturier. Montreal goal scorers were Brendan Gallagher, Shea Weber, and Max Domi. Carter Hart, 33 saves on 35 shots. Yeah, I mean, that was a stinker. It really put – we needed that game to have any chance at the playoffs. Flyers still have a very slim chance, and I'll touch on that in a little bit. But when you lose to one of the teams you're chasing in regulation, you're not doing anything right. And the Flyers offensively just, I mean, they put up 33 shots, the Canadiens 36, but it just didn't look like a good game at all.
Yeah, there was nothing really going on.
It didn't look like they were testing Carey Price, and I mean, Carey Price is still one of the best goalies of our generation, even if his stats don't recognize that. If you're not testing him, it doesn't matter. I mean, you say, oh, 33 shots, they tested him pretty good. But,
yeah, but if all their if all their shots are coming from, you know, from the point or from the outside perimeter and they're not getting through, then
exactly.
You're not. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Carey Price is amazing, and there were a couple in there that could have been goals otherwise. But if you're not getting more of those types of chances on Carey Price, you're not going to win games.
Yeah, it was a shame. Like I said, it's a game Flyers needed to win, and now their playoff hopes are slim to none. There's still a slight chance.
I have opinions about this game.
What? What's your opinions?
So this game happens to the Flyers a lot. The Dave Hackstall era, and continuing into the Gordon era, where they just struggle against lesser talented teams. Like, who is the star on Montreal?
Jonathan Drouin.
Drouin, yeah, like he's having a great year.
Max,
but
tell
like,
me, Brendan Gallagher's playing phenomenal. Brendan Gallagher's upped his game; like he's completely stepped up into the upper echelon.
Yeah, but none of these guys are like really they're not franchise players. You know, they're good, and then they have a really good goalie, and they have Shea Weber basically. But that's not why Montreal didn't win this game because they had more talent. They won the game because their defensive system was phenomenal. Like every time the Flyers had the puck, you could see all five Montreal players within like a few stick lengths of them. Like there was no room. Like they were suffocated. And the Flyers were kind of very loosey-goosey. And you see this whenever they play the Devils, too. Like, the Devils are garbage, but the Devils always give the Flyers problems. Yeah. And this is the biggest reason why the Flyers need to get a really good coach. Like, this needs to be coached out of them. They need a training camp with a guy who knows what he's doing, who can stop. Like, the slow starts to games and the slow starts to seasons is that needs to be coached out of them.
I know
it's not a personnel.
I know a guy.
Problem.
He's.
I know. I know a guy too.
He's a six-time champion.
Not you.
Damn it! All right, yeah, Joe Quenneville.
I mean, that's actually Dev. To your point, that was actually I was gonna make a point on Carter Hart to go kind of along with that. Because yeah, the Flyers are for that most of that game they were getting shut down a lot, but there were a lot of opportunities that Montreal was creating too, and it was. I mean, it's wild because that game could have been far worse. And I'm trying to pull up the expected goals for Montreal right now, but Corsica's being kind of weird. So, but you could tell just during the game that they were getting really
the Flyers really were really never hammered. In it. Like it
yeah.
was, it should have been like,
and that's kind of how
in the third period. But
and that's kind of how it is in a lot of games where, and this is why, you know, I guess we're gonna touch on this a little bit about the run that the Flyers went on to try and make the playoffs during the second half and whether or not it was good. But, I mean, you see with Carter Hart, like, he's keeping the Flyers in games even though they are getting outplayed by the other team. And it just gets to a point where, you know, when we get a better coach, when we get a better system in place, that we have a team in front of Hart who is playing almost just as well as Hart, and they're, you know, Hart's able to keep do his thing, make crazy saves, keep them in games, and then the Flyers are also able to return that and, you know, take the puck the other way.
Yeah. It's just, like, that game was so frustrating. And, like, that happens to every team. Like, and the Flyers had a flu bug running through the roster. Like, I get it. And, like, that might have been the reason why they looked like crap. But it just happens, like, a lot to the Flyers. For the last 5 years, it's, you know, if a team has an aggressive forecheck, you could pretty much count it as a loss for Flyers because they're going to just fumble the puck in their own zone the entire time and never get anything going offensively.
Yep. It's it's a sad fact that, you know, where they are now is because of a shit start. Bad coaching, bad use of talent, everything like that. And it's been that way for the past 2-3 years. It's really unfortunate. Just a couple things before we move on. Justin Bailey is on a roller coaster. Since March 14th, he's been called up or sent down every single day.
Yeah. So that's because the Flyers are they're using a loophole in the waiver system. After the trade deadline, you can only make 4 call-ups. So, but you can make an unlimited amount of emergency call-ups. So the Flyers have set their roster so they don't have any extra forwards. So anytime anyone gets sick or hurt, they can say it's an emergency call-up and call up Bailey. The problem is, as soon as that other player is available, they need to send him down immediately.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is why.
I don't know. It's just funny.
Like, why are they just call him up? Like, do you really?
Well, who do they
what
have?
What are you saving your call ups for? Because you're not making the playoffs.
Do they have any American players that can play after their season's done? I doubt it.
Not really. I mean, like, there's no one really on the Phantoms. Like, everyone that you want to play is all on the Flyers, with the exception of, like, Kubel. Like, I can't really think of anyone that's on the Phantoms where I'm like, oh, I need to see them play on the Flyers. Like, Morin, but he's on the Flyers.
I think, I mean, Morgan Frost?
He's not. He's
yet. Yeah,
he's not there yet. He's close.
Yeah, but this.
He can't play. I don't think he can play in the NHL.
No, but he can play in the AHL.
Yeah.
Well, let's get him there.
Well, he can't until his season ends. And I don't think his season's going to. Well, not if he goes to the Memorial Cup and stuff. I don't know how his team's doing, but.
Probably pretty well, because he's doing fantastic.
Yeah, he's one of the best players in the AHL, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't have stats in front of me, but yes, absolutely. So, point leaders. For the Flyers, Claude Giroux, 78 points. Couturier, 70 points. Jake Voracek, 62. Goal leaders, Couturier with 30. JVR with now with 25, connecting with 22. Assist Giroux with 58. Voracek, 43. Couturier with 40. Carter Hart has a 273 goals against average and a 919 save percentage. Good for 14-10-1 on the year. Brian Elliott has a 279 goals against average with a 912 save percentage. 11-9-1 on the year. Flyers currently sit 35, 30, and 8 for 78 points. 6 points out of the playoff spot. I want to quickly touch on that. The two teams that we're chasing are Montreal and Columbus. Columbus with 84 points, Montreal with 83. All three teams played tonight to the date of recording, March 21st. If the Flyers win out, they'll have 18 points, which means Columbus and Montreal can win a maximum of 5 and lose 1 in overtime for the Flyers to have a chance. So slim playoff hopes. But they're there.
Yeah, they're not gonna win out.
No, they aren't, Mr. No, they're not, Mr. Robot. Let me tell you.
Oh my God,
Dev, stop! No, Dev. Dev, no.
Sorry, I'm sorry, Robot.
You're fixed now, but that was funny as hell.
I liked our guest tonight, the Terminator.
Yeah, Flyers remaining.
I think it's when I go under overpasses.
Yeah, stay away from them. Flyers remaining games are tonight. At Chicago, home against the Islanders, at Washington, home against Toronto, at Carolina, home against the Rangers, at Dallas, at St. Louis, and home against Carolina. So some of the hottest teams in the league in there, not counting, like, the Rangers, Dallas, arguably Toronto.
Who did you say we were chasing?
Montreal and Columbus.
And... Nah. It's the Hurricanes in Columbus.
No.
Yeah.
The Hurricanes have 87 points.
Yeah, and they're in the first wild card spot.
Yeah. But you got to leapfrog Montreal to get to Columbus.
Yeah.
So if Columbus falls, but Montreal doesn't, you're still chasing Montreal. That's the whole point of it.
I guess chasing wise, yeah, that makes sense.
The good things that Montreal that go in favor of the Flyers is Montreal does have to play Carolina, Columbus. So that's either way. We're making ground on somebody, but losing ground either way. Winnipeg, Tampa, Washington, and Toronto, and Columbus has. They're making the playoffs because the toughest team they play is Nashville and Montreal, and well, Boston. Because then they also have Ottawa in the last game of the year. The Rangers are in there. Buffalo, who are playing bad hockey. The Islanders, who are Edmonton and Vancouver. left. So I think Columbus will.
The thing you have to remember, though, it's the end of the year, and bad teams love to play spoiler, and they're playing young players, and they win random games.
True. But either way, the Flyers have a maximum of 18 points on the board. They pretty much need them all. So.
Also, the good thing for the Flyers is that Columbus traded for Duchesne.
Yeah.
And Duchesne has a habit of ruining his team's playoff hopes.
Well, let's hope that that continues. So now let's talk about this playoff run that's most likely going to fall off short. And really, I'm going to go over some stats, and then I'm going to pose a question to you: if it was worth it to push for the playoffs, or to take that high first round draft pick. So we're going to start January 13th, the day before the Flyers started their long win streak, the game against Minnesota. January 13th, the Flyers sitting dead last in the league with 38 points. Since then, now to March 21st, the Flyers sit at, what's this? I didn't number this one. 17th. Or 18th, because they're technically 18th, but they're tied with Arizona in points, but technically because of seeding, they would be down one. So they're 18th, so technically they're just outside of playoff, the top 16 playoff teams. In that time, they've scored 40 points. They've secured 40 points in the standings. They've gone 19-7-2 in that time, scoring 99 goals, giving up 86, so plus 13 goal differential since January the 13th. They're 25.9% on the power play and 82.4% on the penalty kill. So really good job stiffening up to make their run to the playoffs. To give you an idea of how well they're playing and since January 13th, Tampa Bay leads with 46 points since that time. St. Louis, 42. Boston, 41. Philadelphia, 40. Carolina with 38 in that time frame. So they've gone from dead last to, well, until recently, a playoff contender. Let's see, the teams that they're chasing. Montreal had 30 points in that time. Columbus had 27 points in that same time frame. So it made a lot of headway going into it, considering that... Where'd they go? Columbus was sitting easily in playoff contention with 57 points on January 13th. So, on January 13th, the Flyers were the headliners to get Jack Hughes. Now they're sitting outside the playoffs. Was it worth it?
Yes.
Yeah. You would have asked me that in January. Probably would have said no if they were, you know, if we were going to try to make a push, just because it's so... just because of how far they were out. And yes, the only way they could realistically stay or come back in contention was to win like they were Tampa Bay. And I probably couldn't believe they could have won at that rate, but they have. And even though it looks like they're going to just miss it, I think the reason why it still was worth it is because Carter Hart got plenty of experience, which was great. And it's good to help build that now. And the Flyers, I think, proved to themselves that they are capable of playing as one of the better teams in the league. So hopefully next year, with a full year of Carter Hart, and I'm going to hope for a better system in place, they could be a potential top five team for the whole season, and rather than just half the year.
So there's some overpasses coming up, so hopefully I don't become a robot again. I think it was extremely important for the Flyers to not play like the last place team for the whole year, because yes, it would be great to get a top three pick. Like, that'd be fantastic. You got Jack Hughes, right? You're going to add him to this roster.
Yep. That's an overpass. All right. And you got also Capo. Yeah. What is his name? I don't remember his name.
I just call him Capo.
It's Capo. Yeah. That guy, he lost out on him, but while Dev stops driving under underpasses, I also agree. It's just weird that all three of us agree for like the first time in our like the 19 episodes. So good job, guys. We did it. We agree on something unanimously, and it's just we have a really young team overall, and I think it's a lot of good experience, especially to Carter Hart, guys like Travis Konechny, Lindblom has played really well. Just to kind of defensively, Ivan Provorov to rebound after his terrible start to the year and has played much better since then. Sanheim's played good all year. I'd like to see Sam Moran just play just to see. Felipe Myers gets a chance to play and play on a team that was playing decently well, not just horrible at the beginning of the year. So it was really good to see him come up and play. You know, next year it's going to be interesting to see if the Flyers buy out McDonald or keep him. Because I think if they buy him out, you know, you're only sitting, what, 2 years? You're paying him $2.5 million instead of 1 year for five after this offseason. So it frees up cap to maybe bring in a defensive free agent, maybe bring in a scoring winger or something sort of like that. Because you also got to figure Michael Raffle's gone, thank God. Scott Laughton needs to be re-signed. Travis Konecny needs to be re-signed. And he's going to get a pretty decent contract, probably around $3.5, $4 million for him. Ryan Hartman needs to be re-signed, but he's not going to get much of anything for that. It's a big push, right, to go almost, you know, up until recently, the past couple of games, point for point with Tampa Bay, who's on a historic pace. You know, to be able to do that proves that this team has fight, proves that they can, you know, do good things. It proves that next year, given the right system, given the right coaches, hopefully a better special teams coaches, better special teams systems, that they're able to compete at a high level for the entire year and not just for, you know, a month and a half span. Yeah, Dev, and how's those overpasses?
Well, I've passed them all, but am I a robot?
No, you're not. Yeah. So let's continue.
Okay.
Let's get back to you.
So yeah, as I was saying, yeah. So I like, and I know that you, everyone wants to get that sexy top pick, right? But if the Flyers had played like they were for the full season, that would mean that they were essentially playing at the level of a rebuilding team without injuries. Like, not good. That means they're very bad. And adding Jack Hughes is great, but it means that it would mean that the Flyers would be bad the next year too. Like, it'd be 3 or 4 years away from being good. Like, you'd have to wait for Nolan Patrick and Konecny to develop into all-stars before you could really have a hope at the playoffs, because that means Giroux and Couturier and Voracek weren't cutting it. Also, the GM probably would have blew up the team.
That was actually...
What?
Sorry, I was going to say, that was actually going to be my next point.
Yeah, like... and typically when GMs do that, it doesn't work out. And usually, if it does, it's because they went for the long-term approach. So that means we're sitting here 4 years away from being a serious playoff team again, even though you got Jack Hughes. But now your draft pick doesn't matter, because you're okay. If you're not getting Jack Hughes or Kako or whatever his name is, whatever player you're picking in the draft, whether he's the 5th overall pick or the 10th or the 30th, he's not impacting your team for 2 or 3 years anyway.
Right.
Okay. If he's not, even unless they're Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews, even if they're playing in the NHL their first year, they're not usually impact players. So it's not making the Flyers a playoff team next year. But their team, as it stands now, is good enough to make the playoffs. And you have plenty of cap space. You can go out there and you can sign a huge free agent. You can be in the Panarin sweepstakes. Or if Skinner's available, you can get Skinner. You know, really, that's all you kind of need to do is probably get one big name free agent and then a few tweaks here and there, and you're good. You're probably a good coach, and you're a playoff team next year. So this is much better than what was happening.
Yeah, and I think it gives Chuck Fletcher, he can look at the team now, and you're right, instead of deciding, hey, I want to blow up everything, because clearly this team is flawed down to its roots. Now he can go out and look to add to a team that's good. And that, like you said, like, if we get somebody like Panarin, who is a known good player, and add it to a team like we have now, that, you know, next year we could be a serious threat. Where if you get Jack Hughes, you don't know how well he's going to stick in the NHL next year, and, you know, if he provides an immediate impact on a team that would have been stripped down essentially to its core.
I would also like to point out that because you've made this push, because you've made this, you've also become more attractive to free agents. Because if you're sitting dead last in the league and you're getting Jack Hughes, but you got all this cap either way, guys like Artemi Panarin, unless you're paying them through the roof, they're not going to look to come here. But
yeah.
Now,
I mean,
you're
win.
Competitive. Yeah. They, you know, it's more appealing to bring in that big name free agent. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it. either way is risky. You could, you know, lose out and take a chance at getting Jack Hughes and then not get Jack Hughes, or you could win out like the Flyers pretty much were doing. And, you know, now our chances are let's go get a big free agent. And I think the less riskier option would, or, you know, the less riskier choice there would be to win out if you had to choose, if you could choose to win out, get a big name free agent, even though it's still, you might not get it, but it's better than losing out, getting a prospect that isn't going to be as good. You know, you don't know how well he's going to stick, whereas Panarin is a great player, or any other free agent you can sign.
So the biggest flaw with the Flyers this year was basically October through December. Like, if you fix that, this team's a playoff team without adding anybody. So if you add somebody, you should be a playoff team. And I'd also like to add, the year that players break out is, if you like look, pick your favorite player and then look at his hockey DB and look at his stats year by year. The year he broke out was probably his age 23 season. We have a lot of young, dynamic players heading into their age 23 season. So that's something to like keep an eye out for, a guy like Travis Konecny, Nolan Patrick,
Oscar Lindblom.
Lindblom, yeah, and then a lot of defensemen too.
Provorov, Sanheim, Myers will be 23
Myers,
next year.
Myers is gonna be, and yeah. So that's, you know, your young players, presumably one of them. I mean, not all of them. Not all of them are going to pan out, but one of those dudes that we just named is going to go off next year, probably. So it's just, this is better. This is good news. You should be excited. And if you sit there and you watch, if you think about your draft stock all season long, like, it's just, it's no fun. Plus, and Kush mentioned this, you could have finished in last place and lost the lottery. You only have like a 30% chance of winning the first or second pick.
Right. Yeah, and then you figure your team that now your GM thinks is no good is going to get torn apart.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you're back to square one.
JVR looked like garbage, and then he turned out to be okay. Like, you know, that would have to continue for us to be a lottery team. Now, like, JVR needs to be a 30-goal scorer paid $7 million a year. So it looks like he still is, so we're good. Voracek looks better, and Ghost and Provorov figured it out. Like, this is a much better situation.
The other points to like the high compared to like a lower draft pick is, high draft picks aren't always guaranteed. Low draft picks aren't always guaranteed to be bad draft picks. Nikita Kucherov, the leading point scorer in the NHL this year, was a second round draft pick.
Claude Giroux picked 26th overall, I believe.
Somewhere right around there, yep.
Konecny was in the teens or the 20s.
Yeah.
Ghost was a third-round pick. I mean, when you think about it, the best player, the only high draft picks on Flyers, Nolan Patrick, Sean Couturier, and Ivan Provorov.
And JVR.
But, yes, JVR, right. But I wasn't thinking, yeah, kind of forgot about that one. but the rest of those, the rest of the good players, like, they're picked all over the draft. I mean, obviously, the higher you pick, the higher the chance is they'll be good, or at least be NHL players. But
you just have to have good scouting.
Yeah, the draft pick this year will not be impacting the Flyers for, if he pans out, if they hit on their pick, 3 to 5 years is when they actually are impacting them. So they're 18 years old. It's not football where you're drafting 22-year-olds. So don't. Like, we don't need to, like, yes, worry about the drafting, because good teams draft well. But for next year, the draft picks this year don't matter. They're not helping them.
Right.
And that's how it is every year.
Yeah, and, you know, when you're moving forward, you know, you're not necessarily building out of this year's draft. Like we said, you're building. If the Flyers are looking to be competitive and truly be competitive next year, you're not building out of the draft either way. You're building out a free agency. You're building out of what you already have in your very deep farm system. You know, take what you got.
You mean like
improve on it?
You just mean like for next year. You don't mean like in general.
Correct.
You wouldn't want to build your team out of free agency. You want to add to your team.
Correct, but because we already have such a deep like farm system, you're not like panicking that the Flyers made a run. Now we're not getting Jack Hughes or Kaapo Kakkonen or Kaapo Kakko, whatever the hell his name is.
It's a fun name to say, but I can't remember how to say it. The Flyers are already have a lot of very intriguing forward prospects in the system. Morgan Frost is killing it in juniors right now. Isaac Ratcliffe has like a goal a game or something. Or he's like a point a game player, and he's 6'6", and he plays with, like, that's pretty crazy. I hope he makes the team. And then you got guys on the Phantoms now that could be interesting bottom six players. So we don't need an 18-year-old on this team. Well, all we need is consistency and maybe another star through free agency.
Yep.
But even if you lost out on all the free agents this year, the Flyers are in pretty good shape.
Yeah. And I think it's much better of a chance to try and sell your team than to hit on, you know, a lottery pick. Sell your team is like the, we're actually really good free, you know, good free agents, come join us, than trying to get lucky and hit on a lottery pick.
The Flyers defense looks like they've hit on almost all of their draft picks.
Yeah.
Sanheim looks like he's going to be a stud. We already all agree on Provorov. Surprise as a third round pick. Myers, this like couple coffees he's had, he's looked really, really good. The only players they really missed on were the first two players they picked, which was Hag and Morin, and Morin just got unlucky with injuries. He could
still pan out.
I still feel like Morin's a dark horse for making this team next year and actually being decent.
Hey, if he provides more than Robert Hag provides, then that's already a win in my book.
Honestly, he should have made the team over Hag when Hag made the team, but Dave Haxtell was an idiot. And then Morin went to the AHL and got hurt. Like, what could have been if Dave Haxtell just did the right thing? But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Morin, he was a guy that when Pronger was, like, under the Flyers roster, but, like, was working in, like, I don't know, a front office kind of capacity, Pronger was the guy who scouted Sam Morin.
There's a funny thing. I forget who did it, and that's kind of a trend with me. I'm really bad at giving credit to people, but like a while back, someone, I feel like it might have been like Greg Wyshynski, did like a thing where like literally every defenseman is compared to Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
When they're a junior. Like, he's a lot like Chris Pronger. Like, every defenseman.
Yeah, and it's true. But it's one thing to be compared to him. It's another thing to be scouted by him and said, hey, he's good.
Well, so, he does look like him.
He does. He's like the same frame. It's eerie.
Like the face is similar to. Yeah. I really hope Morin makes this team as like a bottom three defenseman.
Maybe it's Chris Pronger's illegitimate son.
It could be. Like, if your top four, you know, ends up being Provorov, Ghost, Sanheim, Myers, and then Morin's in there,
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, that'd be, and he could be good. Like, he could be good, but just not better than those guys.
You know what? I think we need to put Phil Myers on the third pairing, but only if we get a guy named Erik Karlsson. Just saying.
I forgot. He's not going to be available.
He's probably not going to be
available. I think the Sharks are going to get him.
Yeah. I think he's loving it in San Jose. And
Who wouldn't?
I think they're going to have the cap to be able to get him because they're losing some big books. Big names off the books this year.
Yeah. Like, isn't Joe Thornton making $8 million? And he's like 50 years old. Yeah. So.
He's making $5 million. I could actually, we talked about this before, but I think I could see Joe Thornton staying if he takes a pay cut.
Yep.
Like, he only makes like $3 million a year.
Yeah, he's doing the Yager thing right now.
Yeah, so, boys.
Taking a year deal.
I think for the first time in the history of the podcast, we all agree Flyers making a push was a good thing, but we do need to move on. Time to bring back a segment. We like
really. It's me and Kush always kind of seem to agree with each other all the time. So really, finally, you just said the right thing.
Yeah. But you know, I've also been right before. You guys just won't admit it.
You also agreed with us on Robert Hag.
Yeah, but I mean, if you don't, you're kind of just an idiot.
Hurdle is having a great season.
It's true. What was I saying? Oh yeah, we gotta move on. Hot take corner. It's back. God, segues. Who wants to go first?
Me, because mine's really stupid and we won't talk about it very long.
Okay.
Alright. Taken, the movie, is just a remake of Man on Fire.
Never seen Man on Fire, so.
Oh my gosh, Man on Fire is so much better.
I'll have to take your word for it.
You should go watch it, I'm telling you.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that.
And I know.
I'm thrown for a loop.
Have you seen both movies, Drew?
I haven't seen either.
Oh! Well, don't watch Taken. It's stupid.
But Liam Neeson.
Yeah, it's terrible.
It's a fun movie.
It's a terrible movie.
If you are looking for a better action movie, definitely watch... Dev. Shit, what's the one with Keanu Reeves?
Which one? Matrix?
No. The one with the bus? No, the recent one. The one with the dog.
The one with the dog.
Oh, John Wick?
Yeah, that's it. John Wick. That's such a good movie.
I just know the dog dies.
But I will find
you. Good movie.
And I will kill you.
It's a dumb quote.
It's a great quote.
In Man on Fire, Denzel Washington puts a bomb up a guy's butt.
That's what's up.
All right. I'm a little flustered right now, Ryan. Why don't you go next?
I mean, I really couldn't think of a hot take because, I mean, literally every take you can make at this time of the year is either logical or it's so ridiculous that you don't even believe it. But I guess if I had to pick one, it's that Toronto will win a playoff series.
Whoa.
Whoa. Just one, not two.
You could say either.
So you're going to say they're going to beat Boston?
I think, sure, yeah.
You think they'll beat Boston?
They have a better roster than Boston. Like,
Boston
and I still kind of feel
ending.
Like, I feel like Boston's a little overinflated the last few years. Like they're punching above their weight.
Yeah, well, I think he's coming back. Or actually, no, he did come back. He just came back last game. He didn't do much, but he did.
Yeah,
come
but
back.
A healthy Pastrnak in the playoffs.
Boston's issue is that they are top heavy. Their top line's one of the best top line in the league, and then after that, it's like nothing.
Isn't like Chara still like their second or third best defenseman?
Yeah,
that's
like Torrey Krug.
I love Chara. Like, Krug and what is McAvoy a defenseman?
Try McAvoy, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So and they got them. They're and then
that's
Chara, who's like 45, and
they got Brandon Carlo, who's like not terrible.
Look, you asked for a hot take, that's what you're getting. Toronto's right. Going to win a playoff series.
But I feel like that's one that you don't believe in.
I mean...
Either thing. You
all right, you're going under an underpass. He's going under an underpass. So, I'm just gonna quickly move forward to my hot take.
It better be good, because me and Dev really have great ones.
I firmly believe this is 100% plausible. And that is that Carolina will make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay. I actually like this hot take because it's not inconceivable.
Right, because Carolina, if the standings hold and they finish at the number one wild card spot, they'd have to go through Washington in the first round, which it's Washington in the playoffs. You never know. Right? That's kind of what I'm basing this off. They have to go through Washington. I think that's their toughest matchup. Because then they have to go through the winner of the Islanders and Pittsburgh. And Carolina just beat Pittsburgh, and the Islanders are honestly surprised at the fact that they're there. And in the position.
Yeah, I mean that's not if they can get past Washington,
they can easily get past the Islanders or Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
they're not getting past Tampa Bay or Boston.
Pittsburgh. Am I here? Am I a robot?
You're fine
kind
now.
Of.
Okay, my new hot take is that Pittsburgh is an easy out.
Yeah, no, that's why my hot take works.
See, I said this every year, and they always end up making it pretty far up until last year. But you're right; they should be an easy out. Like looking at that roster, it's not that.
Looking
good.
At Matt Murray or Casey Smith, whichever they decide to go with.
I wonder how good Matt Murray really is.
See, here's a not so hot take. He was good for 2 years, and he's not good anymore.
Well, was he good for 2 years, or was it just like he was hot in the playoffs?
He was good in the playoffs for 2 years.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like he was a rookie the first year, then he was a second year player, and you know he only played the first year because Fleury got hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he wasn't the backup goalie all year, was he?
I think he took over right before playoffs, and
wasn't,
then
he was wasn't that German guy the backup? I remember his name.
Grice?
Yeah. Grice, the Islanders goalie?
It started with a Z. It's not the German. It's not Grice. It started with
a Z. Zakatov or
Zakov. Zakov.
Zakov. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like the first year, that doesn't really count. Like any goalie can hit a hot streak for 20 games. Mm-hmm.
Jordan Binnington.
Just look at is Michael Layton a good goalie because he got to
the Hamburglar.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I wonder if Matt Murray is just average. Like, he's not bad. Like, I know he had a bad season last year. I just think he might just be an average goalie.
My favorite thing to come from that, though, is that Penguins fans are furious that they didn't protect Flurry and they protected Murray. And
that was the right move.
It was the right move. It was, but it's just hilarious to see all these Penguins fans losing their mind.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, like, so.
Yeah.
Overpass.
So much of an overpass.
Kind of suck.
My hot take was fantastic because it's actually plausible. Your guy's hot takes are something about a movie I've never seen. And something that's probably going to happen.
A boring Toronto take.
Yeah, like, what is it with you two and picking Toronto hot takes when we do this?
Okay, it's usually Dev that does Toronto.
Yeah,
right?
But he specifically didn't do Toronto and decided to choose this weird-ass movie thing that has nothing to do with our podcast.
You said I can make it about anything. It didn't have to be hockey-related.
I said it didn't have to be Flyers-related, but I guess that's still encapsulates
movies. All right, next time I'll make my hot take about movies.
We all gotta do.
And Dev, you have to go back to Toronto.
We all gonna do a movie hot take next time. This is what's happening, except for Dev. Dev's
your
do
homework
hockey.
Is to go watch Man on Fire and then to go watch Taken.
And then also John Wick.
I'm not.
And then decide. Then write us an essay on which one's the best.
That is not happening. All right, guys, we do have to we have to say goodbye now. It's been a good episode. Good pod today. Good pod, guys. Listeners, if you're out there, if you have questions, comments, anything like that, send us an email at wizwithhockey@gmail.com.
If you're out there, if there's anyone listening to us.
If there's anyone still here after this shit show.
Hello?
and you have questions, comments, things you want us to talk about, send us an email at wizwithhockey@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at wiz_wit_hockey. You follow myself at TheBigDrew92. Follow Devin at DevinS93. You can follow Ryan at Flywalker1975. We've been Wizwood Hockey. I've been Drew. He's been Devin.
Oh, yeah, see, I'm a robot.
Yeah, sometimes he's a robot. And he's been Ryan.
I've been poking holes in my mouse pad with this little pin that I found. It's very, very, very therapeutic.
Is it therapeutic?
Yeah.
Yeah? That's so interesting. I'm so glad that this is how we end it. All right, bye, I guess.